Praise the Lord. I want to give you all a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. Shake hands with your neighbor and just say the Lord's going to bless you. Isn't God good? God is so good. Praise God. God is so good. The presence of the Lord's in the room. You may be seated. Praise God. Just a couple of announcements, and we're going to turn to the Word of God. Tonight's our last service here in Brooklyn. We're going to be moving back to Scarver Community Centre from Thursday onward. So Thursday we'll be there, on next Sunday morning and evening we'll be there. So tonight's the last service here. We appreciate the people here that's let us have this hall for the time we've been here. We were actually meant to go back to Scarborough after it was built, but with the COVID and then with whoever built it, who ran off, never finished it, and I don't know all the details, but it put the whole thing back a long time. But we're just feeling it's the Lord's leading where to leave and go there now. Hopefully that's not permanent. We want to try and get our own place. And we're still praying for God to do that. So you keep praying for that. So we'll be here tonight, and then from next week we're back at Scarva. Friday night we went up to Seskenor Pentecostal Assembly, and the Lord helped us in the service. But the wonderful thing was, there's a man and a woman. Were they a couple, Gary, or brother, right? They're friends anyhow, but they were there anyhow. And he can play them organs, you know, them organs with different heights on them, what you don't see much anymore, or like hard could play. Well, this fella's good in the organ, I can tell you. And this girl plays the flute, but she played with Phil Coulter. She's a music teacher. And the two of them played, and it was absolutely fantastic. But I didn't tell Gary this. But what happened was, the week I went to Jackie's to preach, which is a few weeks ago, I prayed for that girl. And she had something wrong with her throat and everything. She was going to have to go to get something done with a dentist. I can't remember what the problem was. But there was a tremendous presence of the Lord that night in the service. A lot of people was prayed for that night. And it's hard to remember everything, but that girl was prayed for. And it was good to see her then. And Friday night playing that flute. And I'll tell you, the devil didn't want her playing it. That's why he was attacking her where he was. But he's a liar. But it's real good to see her. But they're going to come along sometime and play and the flute, and maybe the brother will come and accompany her on the organ. Sometime they're going to come. They might come tonight, I don't know. They might have came this morning, maybe. But they're going to come. Praise God. So we're looking forward to that when they come, and we're still trying to get Trevor. Now, when we talk about Trevor, Brother John will know Bob Baines better than myself. I did meet Bob it's a long time back. But Trevor's married to Bob Baines' daughter. That's the connection. So they do go to Mountain Lodge, but then they have their own wee meeting at Seskenor Pentecostal Assembly, and they run it once a fortnight. So that's for we've been going up, Gary and myself, to preach at different times. And we appreciate Brother Trevor. So many testimonies what the Lord's done over the years, and we just appreciate all that. Praise God. So the Lord bless you this morning. I want this morning to try and speak on the lighted lamp, and tonight on the lighted city. And this is a small parable. It's just a small parable. I want to try and share some thoughts. Maybe we could stand while we read Mark chapter 4, verse 21 to 20. And I'm going to be reading a few scriptures this morning, just to get the different things, and I'll quote some scriptures. You don't have to look them all up. And Matthew's a list, but I'm going to quote some I haven't given, but you don't need to look them up, Brother Matthew. It's just reference. You can write them down if you want. and study them, but I was planning on continuing the book of Hebrews, but I just hadn't got the time I wanted. And I was praying, seeking the Lord. And I said to the Lord, I want a word for this morning. And the Lord led me on this avenue this morning. And I just trust God will give you someone to bless you. Praise God. Mark 4, verse 21, 22. And God bless each one of you. You're visiting, the Lord bless you. We'll give you a special welcome. You're very welcome in our service. And any that's listening in, you're very welcome as well. And may the Lord continue to bless. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, not to be set on a candlestick? For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Let's bow our heads, and if you have a need, just lift your hand, and God will see it, and we'll pray for you, and I'll pray for you if I see your hand, and if I don't, I'm still going to pray for you anyhow. But if you have a need before the Lord this morning, God bless you, each one. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that we can enter your courts with thanksgiving and enter your courts with praise, and we can say this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it. In you we live and move and have our being. We're very glad that you're the one that has lit up our spirits. We thank you that you're the light of the world. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for healing, deliverance. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that cometh down, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, but you're the Amen. Lord, I pray you'll cover us with your blood. Pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I can sense your Holy Spirit in this house and on my body. And I give you the praise and the glory. Lord, I pray for every hand raised in this room that you will meet every single need. You know the needs of the people. Meet every need, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the sisters at work or brothers, bless them, strengthen them. For those that are sick, lay aside, may you touch them and heal them. Lord, bless your own people, Israel. Bless this service, meet every need, in every heart, every life, every situation. Move upon each and every one, George, Winifred, my sister, others that's not here. May the Holy Spirit move on them. Father, will you refresh us? Will you fill us? Will you anoint us? Will you do us all good and bring us closer to your own self? And Lord, get thyself all the praise and all the glory. And above everything, may people come to know you as the Lord and Savior, our purpose, our mission, and our desire, Lord Jesus. And we acknowledge we need you, but we thank you that you are available. Bless your word now this morning. Give us the context of the text and strengthen and invigorate us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to thank Simon Peter here especially this morning. Because he comes here every week. He's not a deacon or anything, or an usher even. But he comes here every week and sets his chairs out for me. Opens up and he's them all set out. By the time I get here, he's near all done. Him and Brother Matthew. And I want to appreciate both of them. Matthew as well. On the laptop and everything he does. May God bless you. And may the Lord bless each one, Brother Gary and all these musicians, and the elders and the deacons, everyone. May the Lord bless you. But special thank you to Matt for Simon. God bless you, brother. And Simon's emigrating to Australia. Him and his wife, and they're young, and they're at a good age to do it. And we know there's a good church over there they can go to. So may the Lord have his way. Praise God. May the Lord guide them. I want to read some of the scriptures on this parable. It's just a small parable. Just to get the picture of it. One of them's really more for the night, but I read it just to context. Luke 8, 16, 17. No man, when he lighted a candle, cover of it with a vessel or put it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be come abroad. Now I'm deliberately reading from the different Gospels. You'll see why this morning. Matthew 5, verse 14 and 15. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel for a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all them that are in the house. Now when we study the Gospels, we know how that the Lord Jesus Christ repeated various parables and teachings in different towns and villages of Judea. A lot of people think you shouldn't preach the same sermon twice. Well, the Lord did. Now I know he was the Word. But you see, if you have something that is from God, you can repeat it. And a prophet of God says, if you're going to tell something, you need to tell it the same way every time you tell it. Don't add a wee bit in or take a wee bit out. You have to keep it the same. And the Lord Jesus was the Word. He was the truth. He was the light. And he preached the same parables in different places. Now the scriptures on this short parable of the lamp, the lighting of the lamp, is found in different settings in Mark's gospel. And Mark is believed to be actually the first gospel. It's the first one. And we're told that Jesus was teaching by the seaside, sitting in a boat, where the multitude was standing on the shore. And he taught them. And it was after giving the parable of the sower and the seed that this parable of the lighting of the lamp was given in Mark 4, verse 1 to 20. You can mark it down, read it. I'm just letting you know this morning. In Luke's gospel, we're told that Jesus went throughout the various cities and villages preaching the good news of the kingdom. In Luke's account, the parable of the lighting of the lamp follows the giving of the parable of the sowed seed, similar to that in Mark's gospel. You can read it in Luke 8, verse 1 to 15. In Matthew's gospel, we're told that Jesus went up into the mountain and gave what it has been called a sermon on the mount. In Matthew 5, verse 1 to 2, the parable of the lighted lamp was given also after the Beatitudes, which is known as the Beatitudes, in Matthew 5, verse 1 to 12. So this is a short little parable of the lighting of the lamp, but you can see, and why I'm telling you the different settings where the Lord was, at different places, different villages, different times, and he shared this short parable. The Lord Jesus repeated it, his teachings in the different places, and we trust that out throughout every generation, we are to repeat and tell the Word of God. And you know that scripture because the Bible says, tell your children and your children's children the things the Lord has done. And the gospel this morning, it's not a different gospel than it was years ago. It's the same gospel. We are to preach the same gospel. We are to repeat it. We are to continually tell it. We are to preach it to our children. They're to preach it to their children. And it must continue on and on. That's the gospel. Now I want us to look at the purpose of the moral of this parable. And the only reason for the existence of a lampstand is to manifest light. And then Matthew might put up the lampstand when I'm talking to you this morning. Mark and Luke both show that all things are exposed by light. They both show that the light exposes everything. Nothing can be hidden when light reveals it. And I tell you, light reveals our sin. Light reveals our secrets. The light of the Word of God. Because the Word of God is a discerner of the very thoughts and intents of the heart. Matthew shows that the believers are called to be light, the light of the world. That's what we're called to be, the light of the world. And that the light can only be manifested through Christians and believers that are in tune with the Heavenly Father, that are walking in his will and his plan and his purpose. And we're doing works, but they're not works to be saved. We are saved. They're works that follow us after we're saved. Now, we're not saved by works, but when you get saved, you will have good works. You say, I don't believe that. That's all right. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He's my example. He shall be your example. First, this lighted lamp. The King James Bible uses the word candle. Through the Gospels, which really means, when studied, a lamp. Candle means a lamp. And the word candlestick means a lampstand. So we're looking at a lamp and we're looking at a lampstand in the Bible. That's the proper definition. It's not to be hidden under the bed. The lampstand was not meant to be an ornament. A lot of people have these wee menorahs for ornaments. And it's nice to have them. I have one myself. And it's good to have them. But when we look at the original reason, they were there for to give light. They were there to hold the candles to give light. And that light was so that you could see and know where you're going. And the whole purpose and the whole existence is to provide light. And light must not be hidden. There's no point having a light and hiding it in your cupboard. You wouldn't light a light in your house in the cupboard and close the door and leave it lit. In the wee office where I have where I seek the Lord, there's no window in it. And I have to use a light, an artificial light, you know, the light switch. But when I come out of that office, I don't leave the light on in there because I don't need it on in there. There's nobody in there. But when I'm in there, I need the light so that I can see what I'm reading and studying. And I tell you, God does not want our light to be out. God wants our light lit. And I'm going to show you briefly how your light got lit. And if you're saved, your light's lit. Now, you know, for the nation of Israel, the lighting of the lamp was a common daily duty where they lit the lamp. And they were familiar with the ministry in the temple of the Lord where they lit the lamp. And in the original tabernacle of Moses, there was a golden lampstand made by the wisdom of God. And upon the lampstand were seven golden lamps on the lampstand. Now it amazes me, and you might already know this, but anyhow, in Solomon's temple, there was one lampstand in the tabernacle of Moses. What you're seeing in front of you, there was one lampstand. But in Solomon's temple, there was ten. There was 10 lampstands in Solomon's temple, so there were 70 lights. 7 lights here in Moses, but there were 70 in Solomon's. Now, I was going to really study a lot and go through all the 7s this morning, then I thought, I'll get far too much stuff, and I don't want to confuse you and get off the track what I'm on. But there's so much you can say about the 7 church ages. This lampstand represents 7 church ages, 7 spirits of God, 7 seals, 7 thunders, 7 vials. So many 7s. And we'll have to do another sermon on the 7s because there's too much just to flip over it. But I want to keep with us this morning. Upon the lampstand were 7 golden lamps for the tabernacle. Golden lampstand was the only light in the holy place, which measured 10 by 10 by 20 cubits. The priest would minister at the table of the showbread. And you see, when you study the tabernacle, you know that there's a 7 golden candlesticks, and there's a table of the showbread, and it's 12 cakes of bread on the table, because the 12 represents the 12 tribes of Israel. So every number in the Bible has an importance, and the height of the table means something. And then you have the golden altar of incense, and all the heights remain the same because Jesus Christ remains the same. He's unchanged. Unchanged. And that light from the lamp lets you get to the bread. And without the light, you'll never get to the bread, for you'll not see where you're going. But you need the light to get to that bread. And Jesus is the light of the world. And he's the bread that come from heaven. And I tell you, when you eat of the bread from heaven, you will live forever. You will have everlasting life when you eat of that bread that come from heaven. The priest would minister the table of showbread and the golden altar of incense. Daily ministration and the same truth was also in Solomon's temple, except Solomon's temple had 10 golden lampstands. Each with their 7 lamps, making the total 70 lamps in all. The lighted lamp stands, the only light in the house of the Lord. Otherwise, all would be in darkness. And I tell you, it's the light of the Lord we need that gives us light. Amen. Aaron the high priest, you can read of Aaron the high priest, and other chosen priests in the temple. They were called temple priests. And they had the daily ministration of trimming the wicks of the lamps, supplying oil, and the daily lighting of the lamps, so there were to shine continually morning and evening before the Lord. Let me read you from the book of Exodus 25, verse 31 to 35. Thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knobs, his flowers shall be of the same, and six branches shall come out of the side of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, three branches of the candlestick out of the other side, three bowls made like unto almonds with the knob and the flower and the branch, and three bowls made like almonds on the branch with the knob and the flower. So in the six branches that came out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like an almond with the knobs and the flowers, and there shall be underneath two branches of the same. And this is all the details of this candlestick. And then we went till Leviticus 30, verse 27. And the table and all the vessels and the candlestick and the vessels and all the altar of incense of the Lord. And these Jewish people, they were to have this lamp had to be lit continually. And it was lit in the morning and it had to be kept lit. And we need to keep the light of God lit. And in our own personal lives, we need to have a time where we spend in the presence of the Lord, that we seek God, that we study the Word of God, that we wait on before God. Every one of us has something to do here. And I know you say, brother, you're preaching. Works, no, I'm preaching real Christianity. This is what I'm calling it. It's real Christianity. The world won't miss certain things. And they make time each day to do certain things in this world. And we need to make time for God. And no matter how busy you are, maybe you're traveling, you can pray, but keep your eyes open when you're driving. That's why the Bible can say, watch and pray. You can pray while you're driving along. How many knows that? You can pray. You can pray at the sink. You can pray at your work. You can come in constant communion with the Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit's here. And we need this lamp continually burning. And this lamp here continually burned. And 1 Kings 7, 2 Chronicles 4, Zechariah 4, Revelation 11 speaks about the burning of the lamp. And this lampstand. For the Jewish household, the lamps were lit morning and evening. And all those in the house enjoyed fellowship and the daily ministration of the light. Light scattered the darkness. Light reveals. Light exposes. Light unveils. Light dispels. Light overpowers the darkness. And you know, when somebody is demon possessed, there is darkness in them. Everything from the kingdom of darkness is what it says. It's darkness. But when the light of the Word and the light of the power of God through the Holy Spirit comes, the darkness will leave people. It will go from people. When I prayed for the brother and sister in Dublin, and they were diagnosed with AIDS, there was something went from the woman. I knew it. She knew it. Everybody knew it. It went from her. Right in the service, out of her. Because the light expelled the darkness. And she was healed and he was healed. And the whole house was made whole. Because the light is greater than darkness. And a little light will lighten up a very dark room. And the Bible says we're to let our light shine. We're not to cover them with a cloak or under the bed or under the bushel. But we need to let our light shine to their unsaved families and friends. We need to let our light shine. We need to take every opportunity. If someone wants prayer or you get a witness, a chance, you need to give it and spread the love of Jesus Christ to their neighbors and friends. This is the first picture the Lord provided in this short parable of the lighting lampstand. Now you know the spirit of man is the lump of the Lord. This amazed me, and I might have mentioned this briefly before, but the spirit of man, the Bible says, Proverbs 20, verse 27, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. When man fell, his spirit went into darkness. But the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the person's life and salvation relights that lamp. Oh, brother, yes. Adam and Eve were in absolute fellowship with God. They walked with the light itself. They had communion with God. But they disobeyed God. And sin entered into the world by one man's disobedience. Death came upon all men. And death represents darkness and separation. But the Bible says as we all die in Adam, we shall be made alive in Jesus Christ. And our soul, our spirit was in darkness. But when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ and his spirit into us, in our soul, our spirit gets lit. And the darkness goes out of our spirit. And then we have light. And that is the light of life. Hallelujah. And we're lit up. We're lit up. And just as the one man brought sin and condemnation, universal condemnation, universal separation, we all die in Adam, but we shall be made alive in Jesus Christ. For as by sin entered into the world by one man, so righteousness entered into the world by one man. And God says in Romans 4 that he does not impute to us our sins, but he imputes to us his righteousness. That righteousness is his righteousness. And his righteousness is light. Hallelujah. He knew no sin. He had no sin. We were in sin. We were shaped in sin and iniquity. We were away from God. We were far from God. We were every one of us sinners, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved. We can come out of darkness into light. We can come back into fellowship and into communion with God the Father through his provided way. His provided way is not a church. It's not the Orange Hall. It's not an organization. It's not a flag or a system or a symbol. But it is through the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For that blood cleanses us and washes us from all sin and unrighteousness and brings us into fellowship with God. And then the Bible says, thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more, but they're washed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Once they are enlightened and their spirit is relighted, there's life and fellowship restored with God. The spirit of the unregenerate persons in darkness still. And Ephesians says we all walked in darkness. We were all led by the prince of the power of the earth. We were all aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, we've come back in fellowship with God. Matthew 4 and 16 says, the people that sat in darkness saw great light. Unto them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light sprang up. And I tell you, when you read of this region and the shadow of death, I think of that wonderful account where Jesus was gone over on the boat to the land of the Gennesarets. And there he was in the boat, and a storm came, and the disciples feared for their lives. And they feared, for the storm was so great and fierce, Brother Larry. And they wakened up Jesus. And what a sermon William Branham preached called Wakening Jesus. And I thank God this morning that Jesus is not sleeping, because he's at the right hand of the majesty in high. But when he was here as a man, he got tired, he was weary, he slept in the boat. And they wakened him and said, Lord, we're going to perish in this storm. And Jesus stood up on the boat and he rebuked the winds and the waves. And an old preacher once said, he says, just like at night when you're trying to sleep and the dog keeps barking, you don't open your window and say, would you like a good wee pup, lie down and sleep? No, you don't do that. You'll open your window and you'll say, lie down! Don't know when to come out yet. And I tell you, the Lord said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm, an immediate calm. His voice controlled the heavens and the earth at his voice. Don't forget, you're working with the one that spoke the world into being. You're working with the one that all things are made by him and for him. And without him wasn't anything made that's made. He is the beginning, the creation of God. Every single word that comes from his lips has power in it. There's no word of God void of power. It is the yea and it is the amen. Hear a little, hear a little. The heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Not one jot or tittle till all be fulfilled. He was the word. That storm obeyed him, but he had a plan. He come with a plan. He come with a purpose. He was our Redeemer, hallelujah. He's a Redeemer for each one that'll come. He was doing God's great plan, and God had already showed him that there was a man over there in the land of the Gadarenes, a maniac, and they had caught him many times. It bound him with chains. It broke the chains asunder. He ran about naked. He was in the terms, in the region of the lost, in the place of death. He couldn't be controlled. No church system could reform him. No church system could break the chains off him. He'd wreck the place. He'd wreck everything. He'd left his family, everything. And there he was, down there, possessed with a legion of demons. Not just one devil, but a whole army of them, Brother Laurie, that possessed him. He was filled with demons and devils and darkness. But I want to tell you, hallelujah, when Jesus stepped out of the boat, them devils was confronted with a power greater than anything they'd ever known. And they cried out immediately. And they said, we know thee who thou art, the Holy One of Israel. Art thou come to torment us before the time? They cried out to that man. And they said, suffer us that we may go into the swine. And the pig trade was cancelled there because Jesus suffered them demons to go into the pigs. And they possessed those pigs and the pigs went down into the water and everyone was drowned. But that man sat and defeated Jesus. That's a miracle. That's a wonderful miracle. He sat and defeated. He had met the light of the world. He was in darkness. He was possessed with darkness. But that light come in him. It come on him. It come through him. And every devil and demon went out of him. And he got lit up immediately. And he was transformed and changed in a moment because of a man called Jesus. I tell you, God transformed him, totally transformed, a new man. You read it in Luke's gospel. He was lit up. That's that same Jesus. Isaiah 42:7 says to open the blinded eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison. Them that sit in darkness are the prison house. Here was this man, legion. He was a prisoner. He was in darkness. He was chained. He was bound. People are possessed. I want to tell you, before God delivered me, I was bound. I was bound with habits. I was bound with things. I had no control over it. I would feel and feel and feel. And then in a month later, I'd feel again. But I want you to know, when I met with the Lord Jesus Christ and he visited me and delivered me, them things broke. And one day I thought to myself, that has no power over me no more. Because of the Lord Jesus, he breaks the prisoner's chains and he sets the captive free. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me. He hath sent me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I tell you, it's the Holy Spirit we need this morning. And the Holy Spirit will light you up, glory to God. And it'll break every chain. And maybe you're even saved and you've still got habits. I want to tell you, that's not part of it. God can take them. God can remove habits and bad things from you. And he can break every chain in Jesus' name. God can bring us to walk on a high plane. Because when we lean on him, he carries us. He bears us up. He beareth us up on his shoulders. Hallelujah. The Lord bears us. My, we'd have fallen, we'd have been finished, but for the Lord. Psalm 35:5 says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. I tell you, only God can open a man's ears in a service. Only God can open a man's eyes in a service, spiritually or physically. I tell you, people that's not saved, and they come and hear the word of God, the preacher can do his part, but it takes the Holy Spirit to move in that person. It takes the Holy Spirit. The preacher can sow the word, but the Holy Spirit is the one that moves in that person. And the Holy Spirit can open the eyes. And the Holy Spirit, and you know the Bible calls it eye salve of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And we need eye salve this morning. And our families need eye salve. And we need to be praying that God moves on them and brings them to the saving knowledge of the truth. The word of God is a lamp. God's word is a lamp. If you're listening well, the time's going, I won't be much longer. The word of God is a lamp. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I tell you, not just any light, this is a lamp. But I'll tell you, the lamp needs the oil. Amen. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The Holy Spirit is likened to the lamp as well. Amen. Revelation 4:5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Seven spirits of God. Now, when I was studying and reading, I was going to really go further with this, but I hadn't the time. It's another whole sermon to do it. But you pray, maybe God will lead us at another time. Now, you know, John saw seven lamps of fire burning before the throne of God and listened to these seven spirits of God sent forth to the earth. And you know that God has sent seven angels. Seven angels, seven stars in the hand of Jesus, brothers and sisters. And a star represents an angel, and an angel represents a messenger. Seven stars in the hand of Jesus. Seven spirits of the Lord. You read in Revelation. And God has sent an angel messenger to every single church age. And the seven church ages, and the Lord God has spoken in each age, clear and plain. And he has shown forth his light. And remember what dispensation we're in. It shall be light at the evening time, and the path of glory you should surely find. We're at the age of light. This is the age for God's, by his grace, the world's in darkness. We know that the darkness had completely closed in. But because we have the word of God, we've got light. But there's only light in the word of God. No light nowhere else. Thank God for the word of God. In each case, the lamp needs oil to make light possible. Man's spirit is a lamp. Needs the oil of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? The word of God is a lamp. Needs the oil of the Holy Spirit to make it shine. As seen in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. All at lamps. But they all needed oil in the lamps. All have kind of a lamp. There was 10 virgins in the Bible. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. All 10 had lamps. But only 5 of them were lit. Because 5 ran out of oil. May we not run out of oil. But may we have oil in our lamp this morning. And may we light and trim and burn our lamps. We might have to clean the glass a bit. We might need to get the black out, and the light's bright. It's shiny. Glory to God. Hasn't it been a great week? Didn't you feel good this week? Because you never saw the rain, but you saw the sunlight of the heavens here. God sent sunshine and sun's a vitamin. Yes. It's a vitamin. You only have to look at me this morning. The back of my head's burned. Top of it's still white because it's wearing a hat. I know these young ones is laughing at me, but there's nothing I can do about it. Maybe I'll buy a wig. Praise God. But I tell you, it's glad, Lord, to see the sun. I like the sunshine. Somebody said to me, when you go to Africa, is it not too hot for you? No, it's not. I like it. I like the heat. And we had a glorious week of sunshine. May we have a glorious Sunday today with the sun arising in our hearts. Hallelujah! Amen. Malachi says, the sun of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Yes. The Lord's here today. The Holy Spirit's here. God can bless you. God can touch you. We want the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is seen in the parable of the wise and foolish lamps. But they needed the oil. John the Baptist was a burning and shining light. Mark, John 5, verse 35. He was a burning and shining light. Man's spirit, the lamp, needs the divine oil, the Holy Spirit, in order that his light shine before man. And this truth is light in the lamp. This is light in the lamp. Brothers and sisters, you have a lamp this morning. Every one of us has a lamp. May the Lord help us to light our lamps. May we get our lamps lit. What did William Branham say? He said you mightn't be called to be a preacher or a minister or anything like that, but he says you can tell how your light got lit. Sister, you can tell how your light got lit. Brother, you can tell how your light got lit. If your light's lit, you can tell how it got lit. And if it's not lit yet, may it get lit. May God light our lamps. Hallelujah. And may we shine forth. Let's stand our feet this morning. God bless you. I'm not going to call anyone forward, but I want every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need prayer, I believe God can touch you where you are. I want you to put your hand on your body for wherever your problem is. Where you're pain somewhere in your body or a problem, lay your hand on it. And I'm going to pray with you, and we're going to join in faith and believe the Lord that God will touch you right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. It's clear, it's plain. Lord, we're so glad that you're the light of the world. Lord, you went about doing good and healing all of our sick and oppressed as the devil. And you said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Lord, you see, for the hands is laid upon the people. You know the need, the condition. Lord, we could lay hands on them, and we know it's part of your word. But Father, I'm just believing you to touch them right now. Where their hand is laid upon them, I'm asking that you'll touch them in their body and make them whole, make them well. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes, your wounds, we are healed. Touch your people, manifest your healing in people in this room. Manifest your light on people in this room. Manifest your healing and light on people listening in. Manifest it on our loved ones. We think of Mrs. Brush again. Father, we're asking you for mercy. We pray that this light will light her up, her spirit. Oh God, come to her, visit her, speak with her, move upon her, grant your grace, I pray. And all the family circles gathered here this morning, save every son and daughter, every husband, every wife, have your way in our lives, we pray. As we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you will direct our paths. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. You believe God now that God's touched you. God bless you. Brother Gary comes, and we'll be back tonight at 6, the Lord will. And the Lord is willing. I've got the shakes.
Uh Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day.
Away, if
legs tucked down, but the kings and the palace, they fly the palace to let you know that the king's there, praise God. And we ought to let know, people know everywhere that Jesus is here. Isn't that right, praise God, that the king is in residence, praise God. Let's just bow our heads, praise God, and we'll just ask Brother John if you would close for us, would you?
Father, we bless your name again this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that indeed you came into the world to shine a light.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. You said that John the Baptist was bare record. John said he bare record, but he was not the light, but he bare record of the light. Oh, Father, pray that we bear record of the same light that John spoke about. We thank you, Lord Jesus, indeed you did come into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you come into the world to destroy the works of the evil one. Thank you, Lord, that you went to the cross and now you give your life. And you didn't only die, but you rose again the third day according to the scripture. And we thank you, Lord, that you sent the Holy Ghost back on the believers. And we thank you, Lord, for that Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just pray you'll quicken us again. And we know that if the same Spirit that raised you from the dead dwells in us, it'll also quicken our mortal bodies. Lord, help us to shine our light always. Help us, Lord, to brighten the corner where we are. Help us, Lord, to shine the light that some pure drifting soul will see that light and come to know you as their personal Savior. Oh Lord, we need you. We thank you, Lord, for the light you have shone. We thank you, Lord, how you shined the light again in the 20th century and how you sent a message to turn our hearts back to what the early fathers had. Help us, Lord, to be contenders for that early faith, Lord. And help us to walk in the light that we have. And help us, Lord, not to turn the wick down to accommodate anybody, but help us instead to turn the wick up.
Yes, Lord.
That there be greater light coming from us.
Amen.
There be more of that light. And Lord, that will not compromise, but will set us, just like you said, you set your face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem. There was no turning back. Lord, I'm glad you didn't turn back.
Yes.
And Lord, you said he that puts his hand to the plough and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Help us, Lord, never to look back, but help us to go forward and looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we bless your name again this morning. We thank you for answered prayer. Lord, sometimes we just speak something and you do it. Sometimes we have to tarry and sometimes we have to wait, but you still bring us through. You
Hallelujah.
Still bring us out.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, we say, like one of old, whenever my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the eagle stays on the rock and he looks up. And Lord, we thank you while we stay on that rock and keep looking up. We have faith. And we have confidence that whatsoever we ask of you, you will perform it. Lord, we thank you that someone said it is so true, you will perfect that which concerneth me. Lord, perfect that which concerns this church. And let us be like the city that's set on the hill.
Amen.
And let us be the salt of the earth in Jesus' precious name. Lord, meet every need again has been prayed. Heal every sick person. And meet every need, whatever it would be. And guide us and lead us in your way. In Jesus' name, we'll be careful. Give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, I ask, Lord, you'll part us now with your blessing upon us. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless. We'll sing a verse in the chorus before we begin to leave. Of my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And we'll be back again this evening then at 6 o'clock. Please come along. And we're out on a good time this morning. So, you know, a good long break in between.